So we're at Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Luke's chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Hey, can you all hear me okay? I don't know, for some reason it doesn't. Okay, all right, just want to make sure. Good. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Now, on the day of the week, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Wow, somebody say amen to that. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by the in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" That is a good question. We're going to talk about that in a minute. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise.' And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest." Interesting story, and I want to give you some context of what's going on here. These ladies are going to the tomb, and these ladies, the 12, actually the 11 at that point, but there was other disciples with them, and their world is rocked. Have you ever had something happen to you that you did not expect to happen and rocked your world? These ladies' world is rocked. Please understand what's taking place. These are Jewish women. And the Jews are being manipulated. They're being, to some extent, enslaved. The Romans are in control. And the Romans had a way of not just, I mean, they could, and they did, completely wipe civilizations out and culture groups out, but many times they'd come in and they just would they would intimidate. They would, much like Germany did in World War II, as Russian would just as Germany became so powerful, and they would come in and just intimidate the country and just take over the country without really firing a shot. Rome would do the same thing, and they would let the people kind of keep their traditions and keep their cultures, kind of, but really not. Remember the context when Jesus says, if someone asks you to go a mile, go two? And we don't really, most of us, even know what he's talking about. But let me tell you what he's talking about. In that culture, if a Roman soldier was carrying something and they just stopped carrying, or just didn't want to carry it anymore, they could tap you on the shoulder, being a Jew, and say, "Hey, carry this for me." And it didn't make any difference that you were right in the middle of your day, right in the middle of doing something. It didn't make any difference. By law, you had to stop doing what you were doing, take what they had, and carry it a whole mile. You're obligated to do it. And if you didn't do that, you could be thrown into jail. And it's this oppression that they're constantly living with that is causing them just to get frustrated and frustrated and frustrated. And here comes Jesus. And you know what they call Jesus? They called Jesus Son of David. Let me tell you one of the reasons why they called Jesus Son of David. Because David was the man. When David was in charge, nobody messed with David. And nobody messed with Israel. And they loved it because when David was the king, they could walk with their shoulders back and their chest out. They could be proud to who they were. But at this point in time, the Romans are there and they're terrorizing them and they're pressuring them. And even though they can do their little things, they can't get too out of line. And here Jesus comes. And they call him the Son of David because what they want is they want a king like David was. They want to get these Romans off their back. And you say, yeah, but Jesus was a mellow dude. You know what I mean? He wasn't. Well, wait a minute. I'm asking, was he? Was Jesus a mellow dude? And I'm not saying, you know what, that he didn't have his times of being soft-spoken. But when I read the gospel, you know what, sometimes we get a perception of who Jesus is, you know what, by these artists who, you know what, I mean, what do you think? You think you're going to go to heaven and you think in heaven there's a bunch of, you know what, fat little babies, you know what, with wings flying around and you know what, doing, you know, I'm telling you what, start reading your Bible. You know what? I'm serious. I don't know where these people come up with this stuff. Because my Bible says when there's an angel around, you know what? I'm telling you what, the angels are, you know what, 8, 10, 12 feet tall, and they're ripped, and they're bad dudes. Come on, can somebody say amen to this? But we have a perception of a, sometimes we get, you know what, we need to read our Bible when? Every day, because we need to start seeing what is really true about the heavens and what's really true about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. They go, he starts saying, hey, he goes and he says, let me tell you what, turns to Isaiah where it's prophesied that Jesus is going to come and they don't like it. And they take him to the edge of the hill to push him off, to kill him. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he escapes them. Amen? The Bible says, I don't know if you know this, the Bible says he goes into the temple and he turns over the tables. He's not like, oh, guys, I don't think you should be doing this. No, that's not what he was doing. He went in and he turned over. And the Bible says, you know what? He was premeditated. Before he does this, he goes off. You know what? And if you saw Jesus, you'd be going, Jesus, what are you doing? How come you're not making a table? How come you're not making a chair today? Because I don't need to make a chair today. I don't need to make a table. Today I need to make a whip. Come on. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. No, that's what the Bible says. That's who our God is. And so he comes in and straightens things out. And people see that. And the Jews see it. And they think, you know what? Just like he straightens out those people who are off the wall in the temple, he can straighten out these Romans too. Amen. And just so you let me give you another example. They come to Jesus to kill him. And the Bible says a legion, not four people, a whole Roman legion come. And you know what? One of the gospel writers says this, you know what? And they come to get him, and the next thing you know, all of them are on their backs looking up. And if you read in the text, Jesus has to kind of like gather them and go, hey guys, remember, I'm here, come get me. Pastor, what happened? How did he do that? I don't know what he did it. I don't know how he did it. Here's what I know. Just like I don't know how he escaped them. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus was a bad dude. And they saw it. Listen, Jesus knew when it was time to say something and it was time to do something. And when it was time to say something and when it was time to do something, he wouldn't mess with you. He's going to say it, and he's going to do it, and he's going to let the chips fall where they may. That's right. Amen. Now, let me make sure I put this in context. Always led by his Father. He said, there's a lot of things I can say and a lot of things I can do, but I'm not saying any of them. I'm not doing any of them. All I'm going to do is what the one who brought me here to do. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to do. And it's, watch this, it's in this context. Just a week before, they are hailing Jesus, you know what, as he comes in as the king. And he might be on a white donkey, I get that. But don't think that these understand the Jewish mentality. The Jewish mentality, his apostles... You'd think the apostles would figure it out, right? With all the texts of the Old Testament. You know what? With Jesus, you'd think they'd figure it out. But they didn't figure it out. You know what they're arguing about? They're arguing about who is going to be at his right hand. Because let me tell you what. I want to be right next to Jesus when he starts jacking up, you know what, these Romans. Because I'm so tired of being taken advantage of. How many ever been taken advantage of? And they're tired of it. And that's what they think. And all of a sudden their world is rocked. Because at this point, that one that they think is going to be like David isn't like David at all. This one is captured by the Romans and captured by the Jewish leaders and hung on a cross and killed. And they are completely distraught. Thomas doesn't even know if he believes anymore. Peter's gone to cussing. Is this not right? I mean, they are not. And all the other guys are hiding. And it's this context that they come to prepare the body. Are you catching this? What I want to talk to you today is about what happens when God is doing something new. And who catches it? And who doesn't catch it? And let me tell you again what context I even preach this sermon. I preach this sermon in context of me preaching 2 weeks ago. And I don't even remember what I was saying. But I do remember what I caught in the spiritual realm. And it was very concerning to me. Because what I was asking was for people to move. And I'm not talking about the day that we moved chairs. I'm not talking about that. But I was talking people to move, to recognize God is pushing you, and to not resist his push, but to recognize God's pushing or God's leading is he's leading you to get you from the place you're at to a better place. And what we need to do, listen to me, somebody, what we need to do is not resist his leading, but thank God for his leading. And as I was preaching it, I sensed that there was a whole group. You say, well, who, you know, who was it? Was it me? Was it me? Was it me? I don't know who it was. A lot of times you're preaching, you don't know. You know what I mean? You're talking about lust, and God doesn't have like arrows going, dude, that's, you know, you're talking about this dude right here. You know what I mean? You don't know. But you know this is, you know it's, you know you're preaching to somebody. And so I'm preaching, and there's a whole group that is with me and saying, yes, God is speaking that. We receive this change. We receive this this wooing us into a greater commitment, into a greater sacrifice even. And we don't see it as a negative thing. We see it as an investment that God is asking us. How many know God's not going to ask you to invest something that he doesn't have a great return to you or for you? And he was saying that, and I could see in my spiritual eyes, there's a whole group of people who just was receiving it, and it was awesome. And then at the same time, it freaked me out. Can I preach to somebody today? Did somebody come to hear the truth? Or did somebody just come to hear their, have their ears tickled? Thank you. And so as I was preaching it, I could feel the resistance. And it freaked me out. And the Holy Spirit ministered to me and he said this. He said, how many know God is so good? And he said, you know what, Drew? Don't freak out. Just bless the people. Bless all the people. And those who come will come. And those who want to stay in their religious state will stay in their religious state. And there's nothing you can do except pray and continue to preach the word. But what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to allow their resistance to infect you, because you can't do that. So focus on those who are not resisting my leading and my moving. And praise me for their movement. Don't get critical on those who are refusing to move. So I said, okay, God. It's in this context that I preach this sermon today. How many ready to hear what God has to say to you? What do you do when God is moving, when God is saying something, when you had it all planned out like this? And it ends up being something different than you anticipated. My points are very simple today. The first coming, look at verse 2. But they found the stone rolled away. They're coming. They find this stone rolled away. Watch this. It's almost bizarre in the text. They find this stone rolled away, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord. Now, here's what trips me out. Watch, look what it says. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. And I want to say, why were they greatly perplexed about this? How is it that after Jesus had spoken to them, Matthew chapter, don't turn there, just follow with me on the screens, 16 verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show how his disciples that they must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and, watch this, and be raised the third day. How come they're perplexed? How come they don't understand this? How come they go and he's not there and they scratch their heads? That's a good question, is it not? What's going on? Why are they knew. They knew. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 6 and 8. You say, yeah, but that was them. These are the ladies. Look, they even say, look, he is not here, but is risen. Watch this. Remember, now he's talking to the ladies. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Listen, these ladies knew. So if they knew, how come they're perplexed? How come they don't get it? Well, I'm smiling still, right? How come we don't get it? How come when God speaks to us, we're perplexed in what he's saying? We don't understand what's going on. How is that that God speaks and people don't hear? How is it that God speaks to us and we don't hear? How is that? Well, let's can I go a little deeper here? Let's look at some passages. Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 13. Look at this. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see, and here's the main point, and hearing, they what? They don't hear. It's not that I'm not trying. Listen, it's not that God is not speaking to us. That is not the question. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to you. The question is, how come you're not hearing him? And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. They don't get it. They're perplexed. Oh, no, why isn't he here? Didn't you hear what he said? Next verse. And in them the prophecy Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing they will hear and not understand. Now listen, before you think, because we don't understand this and we have to put it in context. Oh, Jesus is just teaching in parables because that's... No. You can understand a parable if you have an ear to hear. Watch this. Hearing, you will not hear and shall not understand. And seeing, watch this, you will see and not perceive. Next verse. For the hearts of his people have, keep it here, guys. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. And their eyes, who closed them? They closed them. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Go from that scripture, but we're going to go back. So go to the next scripture. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Watch this. For their hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with the... Oh, that's the same thing. Next verse, 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for surely I say to you that many prophets and the righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it. Here's what I want to say. Their hearts have grown dull. Everybody say grown dull. What does that mean? The Bible is giving us an indication that they weren't dull at one time. Can I preach to somebody who's been saved longer than 4 years? Can I preach to somebody? If you've been saved longer for 4 years, get your hand up and pay attention. Here's what happens, guys. We come to the church and we're on fire for Christ and we're excited and the things are, but then, oh yeah, we heard this before. Oh yeah, we got that. Oh yeah, Pastor, you know what, Pastor, I know you've been here for 18 years now. Yeah. Pastor always does that. Pastor, you know what I mean? No. Oh, I heard that scripture. And there's this dulling of our hearts. There's this dulling of our hearts. And God is saying to those of you who've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, hey, don't allow your hearts to get dull. Don't cut off your hearing. Don't think that you know everything because you know a lot. Amen. There's something that happens that when you think you know everything, you cut yourself off to learn anything. Oh yeah, I know about the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, I know about speaking in tongues. Oh yeah, I know about this. Oh yeah, I know about, you know what, baptism is the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, I know about tithe. I know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, maybe you don't know everything about the tithe. Maybe you don't know everything about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you don't know everything about speaking in tongues. Maybe you don't know everything about worship. Amen? You ever been around somebody who knows everything? I didn't ask if you were sitting next to that person. I asked if you knew that person. And the thing about that's so awful about being around somebody who knows everything, you can't ever tell them anything. You know why? Because they already know everything. What I'm suggesting to you is that the reason why we're not hearing isn't because God isn't talking, but it has to do with a humility to say, I don't know everything. I need to hear what God is saying to me today. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 27 with me, 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you should send to my father's house. This is Lazarus. He's, you know what, in a bad place. For him it's too late, but he's got brothers that he wants them to not to come to the knowledge of Christ and not have the same fate that he has. Watch this. For I have five brothers that he might testify to them, lest they should come to this place of torment. He's asking that God would raise someone up that they could go speak to his brothers on the earth. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. How many think if somebody from the dead came up and told you, you need to get right with your wife. You need to start loving your husband more. You need to start forgiving your children. You need to start, you know what? You need to start tithing. You need to start being more generous. You need to start forgiving. You know what? We think, oh, yeah. You know what? Like what's the Christmas thing? Not the Grinch. You guys are funny. No, the one where the spirits came and came back. Christmas Carol. Yeah, that's what I need. I need the Christmas Carol. And the Bible says, no. The Christmas Carol is just some funky story. You don't need the Christmas Carol. Watch this. Watch this. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rises from the dead. What is the issue here? Here's the issue here. Why don't they hear? Here's why. Because their hearts have grown dull. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They have a preconceived notion of what's going to happen. And even though Jesus is saying, no, that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised from the dead. They can't hear it. Oh, can I go a little deeper here? What's your preconceived notion about what you should do? Watch this. So you come in. Watch this. Is somebody ready to learn today? Yeah. And so you come in with a preconceived notion about your marriage, about your kids, about forgiveness, about generosity, about whatever you already know. And you come in with your preconceived notion and you sit in here and you hear a message that God has given to myself, to my wife, that's going to minister to you, that's going to rock your world. And you say amen. And you say hallelujah. And you say, you know what, praise the Lord. And you even say, you know what, when we raise our Bibles, and we have to do. And you leave exactly the way you came. You
You're perplexed. You don't understand. And you don't understand because you haven't received understanding. It's not because understanding wasn't given. It's not because Jesus wasn't speaking to them that they didn't hear. It's because they already had this preconceived notion of how it was going to be. And even though it was right in front of their face, they didn't see it. They couldn't see it. What I'm saying is we need to take a dose of humility as we come in. I'm just saying, particularly those of us who've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years or longer, and say, God, what do you have to say to me this morning? Amen. Number one, sermon so simple today. Number one, you know what? Number one, they need to hear it, and we need to hear it. Number two, let me give you one more. I'll just quote it to you. Let me give you one more scripture. It's when Jesus is speaking. Actually, we have time. Go to John chapter 12, verse 27, up here on the screens. So my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come. Next verse. Father, glorify your name, and my voice, and Father, glorify your name. Watch this. Then a voice. Everybody say a voice. A voice. See, God is speaking. Yeah. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it. Are you ready for this? Watch this. Therefore, the people who stood by, and what did they do? Oh, Pastor, it was such an awesome message. Praise the Lord, that was so good. What did I say to you? Oh, nothing. I already know everything. I already got it. I'm already a perfect husband. I'm already a perfect wife. I'm already perfect. Say something to me? No, that was for them. That was for all the people sitting around me. No, watch this. Therefore, the people stood by. They heard it. They heard it. Said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. They're not sure what God is saying. God said it even in a very tangible way, in a audible voice. He spoke to his son, and they heard it, but they can't discern what he's saying. What I'm saying is, guys, what is God saying to you when you come in? And if you're not hearing God, would you be open to recognize that it's probably not because he's not speaking, but it probably has less to do with his not clarifying. How many know there is no better communicator than God? It doesn't have to do with him not speaking. It has to do with our listening. Number one, we need to hear it. Number two, we need to see it. They don't see it. They are looking, and I've heard, I haven't been there, but I've heard ones who've gone, when they show them in Jerusalem, they show them the place where Jesus was, the place where he was laid. It's that you have to get down low and look inside. And he says, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? See, you have to hear it. You have to see it. And here's what I want to say to us today. You say, Pastor, what's the application? The application is the same. Why are we looking for life in dead places? Does somebody want to hear me preach today? So here's my question. Why? Why we think we're going to find a husband? You know what? At the Red Onion. Come on, somebody. See, some of you are like, red onion, what are you talking about? Well, back in the day, that's where, not me. I'm not me. But in the day, I don't know what today's version of the red onion is. So, Pastor, I still, you know, some of you younger people are like, I don't even know what he's saying. Okay. A red onion was the red onion was this restaurant with, you know what, with the disco there. And just Google it. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna find that man at the red onion. Because that man don't go to the red onion. Amen. Hello. See, you're looking, you don't see it because you're looking in the wrong place. Amen. You know, don't look back at the days that you got high and you got loaded and you got drunk and you know what? Stop looking at those days. Wait a minute. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? I just did that yesterday. I know about all that. Here's what I'm saying. Stop looking with eyes of, you know what, of affection for those days. Those weren't the good old days. Those were the bad old days. Those were the days that your girlfriend, you know what, called you and said that she thought that, you know what, she was pregnant and you freaked out. Those are the days that you get to go to the hospital and get to go to the doctor and he's got to tell you you got an STD and you got to do this. Or there's no solution because they don't have a cure for the one you have. Amen. And we start to look back at our lives with fondness. Listen, don't love the world or the things of the world. You know, Lincoln Brewster, this world has nothing for me. You're not gonna see it. You're not going to see it because you're not looking in the right place. The Bible says in Colossians, put your mind on the things above. Why are you so worried? David said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Why are you walking around bummed out? Why are you walking around depressed? Why are you like, Well, stop it. Stop it. You've got a loving God. You know what? Who loves to give good gifts to his children. He's in love with you. He's for you. If God is for you, who could be against you? Start meditating on his promises and get your head up. You're not going to find it because you're looking too low. You're looking too low. And God is speaking and saying, here's the way out. But you've got to have a heart to hear. You've got to have eyes to see. And finally, and I'll close with this. You've got to have an attitude to get it. You've got to have a willingness to catch it. You know what you've got to come to? You've got to come to the end of yourself where you say, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not strong enough. I just can't do this. I can't figure it out. I need God's help. I want to catch what he's saying. I want to hear what he's doing. I am open. I come to this church. I don't come to church today. I come to change today. I'm here to be confronted of my selfishness. I'm here to be confronted to my old way of thinking. I'm here to be confronted to my stubbornness. I'm here to be confronted by my pride. I want to humble out. The Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Amen. You know, how do you get up? You go down. Yeah. You get down on your knees, and you humble out, and you say, God, I need your help. I don't know how to, I can't do any of this by myself. Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 19. Behold, check this out. Look at it this way, guys. I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. You shall know it. See, God's trying to tell it to you. It's not because he's not speaking. It's not because he prophetically hasn't told you. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. God's saying, I don't care where you are. You mean in the desert? You mean in the wilderness? I don't care where you are. I am going to make a way for you. I'm going to go before, and I'm going to, but here's what you got to do. You have to have a willingness to catch it. Because if you will come in and you already know everything, and you've already been there, you've already been saved for 28 years, you've already been saved for 48 years, you've already been saved for 12 years, you've already been saved for 8 years, you already got it. And understand this, God is doing something new. Listen to me, he's doing something new in this place. Here's my question, and I'm not trying to be confrontational, but I would say some of you don't know what a fresh thing he's doing in this church. You don't know how fresh it is. Well, today is not too late, because you heard the message. If you will catch it, if you will have a willingness to having heard and having heard and having heard and having heard, if you'll come in and say, I need to catch what God is saying to me, and I have a willingness to do what he says, then you know what you're going to catch? You're going to catch that Jesus has risen from the dead. You're going to catch that he's a real God. You're going to catch that he's alive and that he wants to have a relationship with you, and he'll tell you how to do everything. He'll tell you, listen, if you're hooked on drugs, he'll show you how to get off. If you can't stop drinking, he'll show you how to stop. If you keep on smoking dope, he'll get you off dope. If you're sexing it up and you just keep on going on the internet and you're like, and you swore 38 times that you were never going to do it again, but you're still doing it, you know what? I'm telling you what, if you walk in forgiveness, if you are not walking in forgiveness, if you're not walking in this wholeness of life, God says today, this morning, listen, I can get you out of your depression. And get you out of your depression. I can restore your marriage. Yeah, praise the Lord. As soon as you fix my husband, I'll be good. You know, as soon as you fix my wife, you know. No. See, watch this. Your preconceived notion. You walk in and you already know the answer. And I'm telling you what, you don't know the answer. And there's something that is so powerful in saying, God, this morning, what are you speaking to me? Because that's what I need to hear today. Now, I'm just asking, who's this message for today? Father, you see the hands? I didn't even ask them to raise their hands. I just asked them a question. And you see the hands of humility that are up. God, bless us today. Help us to hear. We have ears. Put your hands on your ears and say this, I have ears and I'm ready to hear you. Put your hands on your eyes. Say, I have eyes and I want to see God. And put your hand on your chest and say, God, I want to catch what you're telling me to do. You are the blesser.
in Jesus' name. It's ready. Come on up.
Thank you. It's interesting. You said, who came to change today? And I immediately thought, whether you came to change or not, you absolutely change just being here. Because when the Word of God is taught and you don't respond to it, that's how we get those dull hearts and those dull ears that he's talking about. You always change. When truth comes to you, you change. You either receive it and change, or you reject it and change. Recently, we know stuff. Like, some things are just too obvious. You know what I mean? You ever like, okay, here's a good example. You ever kind of not real happy? So you're kind of sad, and you know you're sad, and this is making you sad, and that's making you sad. And so we know we're sad. That's not a news flash. We know that. So we know stuff about our life, or maybe you're in bondage in something, whatever's happening. I want you to picture you, and I want you to picture something that's your stuff that you're dealing with. So it's not a news flash. But one day, recently, the Lord said to me the very thing that I already knew, and it had to do with my joy. And he said, you've allowed joy to be taken from you. Well, I knew why. I mean, I knew what had happened. It wasn't foreign to me. And yet, when God said it, it was fresh to me. Do you understand that? It's like I already knew it, but here's the difference. I had settled with it. It is what it is. That's the way it is. And that's how it affected me. That's how I am. Settled. But God, when God said, you're not joyful. You should be joyful. You've allowed your joy to be taken from you. Who was that on? Was that on the circumstances that took place? Or was that on me? See, I know enough of the Word to know that's on me. And God was kind of pointing out, what was, what is. But you choose for you. That's the choice you want, princess? You sure about that? I don't want that choice. No, I mean, who wants to be sad? Who wants to be depressed? You know what I mean? Who wants that? I don't want that. But when he said that, it was like, So what had happened? I'll tell you exactly what had happened. I had allowed, let's just get real. Can we get real for a minute? Hi, we'll talk about me, and then we can get real, real, okay? And then you figure out if you can get real with you. I had allowed the reality of circumstances. I had lifted that above the words of Jesus Christ. I had given that more power in my life than the words of Jesus Christ. Now, This is in John 8:31. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Was I holding to the teachings? I was not. See, and it's not like I ever said, okay, I'm not a believer. I think I'm going to be this today. No, 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 no. It doesn't happen like that, does it? we just one thing at a time decide that we know more than God concerning this situation. How do we decide that? Well, because blah, blah, blah happened, and I remember when, da-da-da-da-da, and I tried, and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it just can go 100 ways. But at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. Something we give higher value than the Word of God. So as we end up with junk in our life, whatever that junk is, let's look at some more scripture. This is John. This is John 1:14. See, when he's talking about Jesus, the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So truth was presented to me that day by the Lord. See, we all want the grace. Like, thank God for the grace, you know what I mean? Because I need some of that. And so do you. And what would we do without it? But Jesus isn't just grace. He's grace and truth. Which is why sitting here today, maybe, you know what, you're thinking of your whatever that is. Which is why today, you know what, you will be changed through today. Either because you received and you're gonna get back on point with something concerning being a disciple. You're gonna hold to those teachings. You're gonna go, wait a second, I've exalted this, and that's why I'm like that. But and we settle into things because of time and duration. How many times? It's never going to change. It just is what it is. Remember our comedy night? Whenever you say, it is what it is, you know it's never good. Remember that comedian? We do that. It is what it is. But here's what really is. Here's the truth. You've exalted something above God's word. And that is always going to rob you. What does the truth do? The truth, then, this is John 8:32. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But whose choice is that? See, that's what I say. Why was I not the joyful person? And I knew. It's like, wow, I'm not like I used to be. I'm different. These things have changed me. Well, it is what it is. Is that okay? It's not okay. It wasn't okay with the Lord, which is why he's pointing it out. And I'll bet you $100 that's not the first day he tried to point that out to me. I bet you through all different ways, you know what, perhaps I wasn't hearing. Because it just was a while. And I know my God. I know that he was there from the very beginning. I can even remember some of the early times, him just encouraging me and trying to help me. I'm just making sure I didn't have one more scripture for you. That's it. That's it. We've gotten a good dose today, amen? We've gotten a good dose. May we receive it and truly be disciples.